Hello, I'm Christian Harris, editor of biosmagazine.co.uk. Thank you for downloading this podcast. Today we're talking to Nigel Hawthorne, international VP of security vendor Bluecoat Systems, who has some counter thoughts on a new Which Magazine report, which has exposed how children can access internet porn via mobile phones because of a loophole in phone safeguards. Before I speak to Nigel, I'd just like to thank Ipswitch for sponsoring this podcast. Ipswitch is the leader in messaging, network management and data management software for small and medium businesses. Please visit ipswitch.com, that's ipswitch.com, to download full function trial versions of all their software. So, welcome Nigel, thanks for taking time to talk to BIOS. How are you?
Thank you, that's fine, I'm great.
Good stuff. So, what is your role at Bluecoat Systems?
Well, I'm the VP of International Marketing, which really means that I'm responsible for marketing of Bluecoat and its technologies, but also making people aware of some of the threats that there are out on the internet.
Okay, excellent. So we're here really to talk about this Which report that has exposed how children can access internet porn via mobile phones because of a loophole in phone safeguards. The Which report claims that minors are able to obtain codes for adult websites by paying for them using premium rate text messages. To support the claim of the loophole, which researchers attained codes for 8 different adult porn sites using an O2 phone that had been registered to a 15-year-old girl. Nigel, you believe that mobile phone companies are being wrongly targeted for criticism in this case, and you think it's more of a PC issue than a mobile issue. Is that correct?
That's right. Well, firstly, what I'd like to do is thank Which for bringing up the main issue, and the main issue is one of children accessing inappropriate content, and I think that that is an important issue to bring up, and it's certainly a problem with which Bluecoat is very aware. In fact, we work with lots of enterprises and mobile phone providers to help them provide the blocks to adult content. But I do think in this particular case that they've targeted a small part of the problem. If you look at the reports that they did, what happened was that they got a 15-year-old girl, they registered a phone to her, and then they went and asked for passwords to adult sites, and they got those passwords back. Of course, all that was happening at that point was they were sending a text message from the phone and getting a response. At that point, they have to take that password and then try to access the adult content. When they tried to access the adult content from that same mobile phone, it was blocked. So the actual adult content was blocked, even though the initial text wasn't. And the only way they could go to access that content was to put that set of passwords into a PC that was accessing the internet and access it there. Now, Which claimed that that's still a big problem, the fact that the mobile operators are providing the text message to the pornographers who are then providing the password back. But I do think that they're being a bit unfair. I think if we realise that organisations such as Which live to try to attack large organisations, you can see that they would love to find somebody to blame for this. Though I actually think that the sending of the passwords isn't really the issue. The issue is the content itself. And as I say, when the child tried to access the content through the mobile phone, it was blocked. The good news in the UK is that every mobile phone provider has signed up to a code of conduct where if you register your phone as belonging to somebody under 18, they will by default block access to adult content. So the first lesson I think to be learned is that if you've got children who own phones or children who use phones that you have bought, make sure you've got it registered as belonging to that person that's under 18. I have heard of people who've been caught out when they registered a phone in their own name and then passed it down to a child. But let's look at the second part. The second part is where they access the content from a standard PC. Now, they didn't say how that PC was set up. They didn't say which ISP it was connected to, and they didn't say whether it had any filtering software on it. And as you can anticipate, it probably didn't. And so the other lesson, I think, for all of us who are using technology and are parents or guardians, is that we should make sure that the PCs that our children are using have the appropriate content blocks on them. Now, Some of these things cost money, but if you don't mind me mentioning it, there is a piece of software available that actually gives you web filtering for free on PCs. It's called K9, and you can get it by going to www.getk9, and K9 is the letter and then the digit, getk9.com, and you can download this software, and it is absolutely free of charge. But I think that really what comes out of the whole Witch Report is that we as parents and as guardians and as technology users probably need to talk to those people who are either underage or are not as technology savvy as we are. My own parents, for example, have had big spyware problems, but they hadn't installed any spyware cleaning utilities. They also hadn't installed the web filtering software because they said, well, we're not children. We know where we want to go. We don't want to go to adult sites, and we won't go there inadvertently. What they didn't realize was that web filtering software can also save you from the infections of spyware and tell you when you've been infected.
What I just want to clear up, the Witch Report, is it putting blame on mobile phone operators? Is that the crux of the report?
What Witch are claiming is that the children can send a text message to somebody who is promoting pornography, and they will get back a password that they can then subsequently use to access that content. And what Witch are saying that they think mobile operators should do is block access to those text message destinations if the person using the mobile phone is a child. The difficulty with that is that would require them to know every single possible text message destination. And if somebody selling pornography moves from one number to another, then it would be a nightmare of a job to be able to keep up with that. I think they're really expecting too much. I don't think there's any way that mobile operators can list every single phone number that could possibly receive text message and then decide whether or not that person is promoting adult content. That's why I think the better place to look at this problem is when the content itself is being accessed, either from a mobile phone or from a PC.
I mean, are these kind of new services? Or I mean, because obviously kids are getting more tech savvy. Are these different services than, you know, kids are just accessing on general websites, or they go into these sites, schools? I mean, why has this suddenly come up on mobile phones? Is it just because of 3G and faster internet access, right, or the more sort of adult content aimed at mobile users?
The reason that this is getting to be a bigger and bigger issue is that more and more mobile phones are being supplied that can access the internet, whereas it used to be an esoteric function that was only available on the most expensive telephones. It's now available on all sorts of phones. And of course, the mobile operators would like you to use the phones as much as possible. So whenever there's a chance for them to upgrade your telephone, they will give you as many features as you can. I think the other part of this issue is many parents and guardians don't actually realize what's available on the phone. To use myself as an example, I use a mobile phone, mainly to make phone calls, but also occasionally to send text messages. I have two children. My 11-year-old considers that it's a text messaging and camera device that also plays MP3s. And my youngest daughter actually doesn't care what it does as long as it's pink. What this shows is that people over 40 and people under 40 are actually treating mobile phones very differently. And yes, there's bad things on the internet. I think we all know that. And many of those things can be accessed either from PCs or nowadays from mobile phones. That's why actually I applaud the fact that the mobile operators in the UK will block the access to the adult content. And that's not just pornography, but that's gambling sites, hate sites, weapons, sites that promote illegal drugs, alcohol, etc. And they will do that until the user proves that they are over 18. And the way that most of them administer that is they ask you to contact them either over the web or to their call centers and to prove that you're over 18 by giving them a credit card number. Only at that point do they unblock access to that sort of content. So I think they're doing the right things. I think that they are actually blocking the real request for the real content that we don't want children to access. But what they're not doing, and what I personally think is pretty difficult to ever fully administer, is blocking the initial request that Witch did was, which was to ask for the passwords in the first place. To use an analogy, I think that the blame Witch are giving to the mobile operators is rather like me blaming the post office for allowing my son or daughter to put £5 into an envelope and send it to somebody and ask for a magazine to be sent back. They're only the, at that point, the only thing that is happening is a password is being created. The user isn't actually accessing the content. So I do think that in this particular case, the mobile operators are being unfairly judged.
As a parent, we can put web filtering type software onto our PCs at home. Of course, if we're kind of tech-savvy parents, is there anything we can do to protect our children on their mobile phones? Or is it a case of if your child really wants to access these kind of sites, they'll be able to do it anyway?
Well, as I say, all the mobile phone companies have the capability, and they've installed this, to make sure that under-18s don't access this content. The only possible loopholes there are if the phone was originally registered as being owned by somebody who's over 18, or if the site hasn't been seen before. I'll let you know that Blue Coat are involved in this particular business. So one of the largest mobile phone companies in the UK uses our technology, and they look at every website request that's made from a mobile phone, and if it's in the list of websites that we know about, then they will see which category it's in. But even if it's not in a list, if it's a brand new site, then we do some checking on that site. We look at the other links on that site, we look at the language being used, we look at a number of different indicators that can try to tell us what that content is. And if we believe that content to be unacceptable for minors, then that will be blocked from any of those handsets that haven't been registered as belonging to over 18s.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, how old do you have? I mean, is it a case of most parents tend to register their child's phones under their names with their credit cards and then just hand the phone over to the kids, so there's never going to be any sort of issue with age there? Or more, I mean, how old do you have to actually be to have a mobile? Is it 16 years old?
Not at all. I bought two mobile phones for my daughters, one who's 13 and one who's 11, just after Christmas, and I registered them in their name. The retailer asked for their name, their address, and their date of birth. So they do have that information if, when you've bought it, you've made the mobile operator aware. What I'd suggest you do is you look at the phones that you've got, and perhaps you try to access some inappropriate content yourself, or you contact the mobile operator and you ask, has this phone got a block on adult content, just to check how it is set up. I think the important thing that Witch have done here is to raise the issue and make sure that people look into what they've got themselves. I think the difference, of course, with mobile phones is that they are being used outside of the house. In the house, on the PC that is in the building itself, the parent should be partially responsible for the content that the child is accessing. But with a mobile phone that is, of course, taken with the child wherever they go, then the mobile operators do need to make sure that children aren't accessing content that we don't want them to access.
And I suppose, of course, there's more internet-enabled devices, so there's going to be devices with bigger screens and faster access, so parents are going to have a bit of a nightmare kind of taking a kind of IT support role with all these devices.
I was just going to say, I think that what we probably need to do is make the assumption that any phone that has been bought recently is able to access the internet and to check it out, because I think that there are a lot of people who don't even know the capabilities available on their own telephones. And as I say, it's now being thrown in as a standard feature on many telephones, even though that might not be what it's being initially bought for.
Right, okay. It's a bit of another can of worms, really, isn't it, for parents to look at. Do you think the issues, are we at the beginning of the sort of stage for, in terms of awareness? Is this going to get a bigger issue for parents, or mobile operators going to have pressure from regulators and government to not provide the content, or is it going to be the responsibility of the user or the parent, just like accessing it on your PC, which is you know, to be fair, is pretty easy.
Yes, the type of content that you can access through your mobile phones is going to increase. Today, you can ask a mobile phone operator to send you news when it breaks. You can, of course, make phone calls, you can send and receive text messages, you can access the internet. Accessing the internet is getting to be a more and more common application on mobile phones. Well, let's look at internet content. It can already be broken down into multiple different types of content. Of course, there's good content, there's news, there's information, etc. There's also illegal content. You might not know this, but there's an organization called the Internet Watch Foundation, and that lists child pornography websites. Those sites are already blocked by most service providers in the UK because it's illegal to access that content. So adults or children are not allowed to access content from those particular sites. Secondly, you've got adult content. Pornography is the obvious example that people use, but it's not just that. It's hate, it's weapons, it's content that might be promoting the use of illegal drugs, for example. We need to keep that away from the child users. You then have people who might be prepared to pay for additional content. I might be prepared to pay extra per month to have access to music. Somebody else might be prepared to pay extra per month to be able to access sports content. And so, as you can see, if the mobile operator knows who the user is and knows which content they're allowed to access and which content they want to access, they can give you personalized information to your mobile phone. As adults, we can make that decision for ourselves, and we will be getting in the next year offers from our mobile operators to give us additional content. But children need to make their children can't make that sort of decision. We need to make it for them. And so we need to be able to have the appropriate measures in place to make sure that they don't access this inappropriate content.
Well, thanks very much for your time. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you to Nigel Hawthorne, International VP of Security Vendor Bluecoat Systems, for his time, and thank you for downloading this podcast. Once again, I'd like to thank Ipswich for sponsoring all of our podcasts. For the latest IT news, reviews, opinions and more, please do go to our website at www.biosmagazine.co.uk.